97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Jungle, baby, and the great outdoors. How about that? Second Amendment Woo! Radio and the great outdoors. Mark Cox in here, along with Bo Matthews, Carl Middleman, and you hear me kind of fired up listening to that song because I got to watch him play it live this week. It was awesome.
And it is Guns N' Roses.
Thank you.
Pew, pew.
So you have Guns, Second Amendment, and the great outdoors, which is roses, which grows up.
Wow.
So how was it, man? I saw a couple of photos on Facebook. Thank you for letting me vacation vicariously through your wall. How was it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was a great concert. They put on a great show in St. Louis a couple of years ago. I wanted to see them again. But I'll have to be honest with you. The primary reason I drove to Indianapolis was to see the warm-up band.
Really?
I love Guns N' Roses. I wanted to see them again because they gave us a three-hour show. I mean, they bust their butt on the stage for you. But the primary reason I went is because the spawn of Edward Van Halen is making his own music these days. And Wolfgang Van Halen started his own band. He wrote all of the music. In fact, on the album, he performs everything. He plays keyboards, he plays drums, he plays bass, he plays guitar, he sings. He sings
like
backup vocals. Mm-hmm. He put the entire album together by himself, and now he's taking it on the road. So the name of his band is Mammoth WVH for Wolfgang Van Halen, and he performed the warm-up for Guns N' Roses. He's traveling the country with them.
You described the recording process of him doing all that. Was he a one-man show on stage?
No, he hired a band to play everything else.
Okay,
he still plays lead guitar, and he's an excellent guitarist, and he sings, and that's what he does. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic.
Obviously, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's fantastic, Mark.
Proof the DNA worked. I just know that.
So tell me about Guns N' Roses. I mean, they've got a... I don't know.
They have a guitarist from St. Louis.
They have a
Richard Fornaris.
They have a spotted history with St. Louis, but
maybe that's why they didn't come back this time.
No. We've mended our ways, I'm sure, but my wife absolutely loves Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm. You know, Axel can still hit the notes occasionally. It's not as easy to hit those high notes these days for him.
It was 30 years ago.
I know that. I'm just saying. But however, the guitar work is as good as it was 30 years ago. I mean, Slash absolutely tears it up.
Crushed it.
He just crushed it. I mean, he did a 15-minute guitar solo and came right out of it to Sweet Child of Mine. And I mean, it was just... It was unbelievable. I put some of the video up on my Facebook page of just him. I'm like, he almost steals the show. He's such a fantastic guitarist. It's just, I love that.
And isn't he the owner of the band?
Yes.
Slash is, right?
No. Axl is.
Oh, is he?
Axl sued everybody else out of that.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't remember that. So how old do you think Axl Rose is, or did you look it up?
He's 59, I believe.
Okay, so I saw the pictures on Facebook, and again, thank you for posting them.
Sure.
But I pictured, 59 years old, I'm even going to the Cracker Barrel for Grandma's breakfast. But does he wear the same garb he wears on stage to the Cracker Barrel for breakfast?
Yeah, I don't know. He changed shirts four times during the concert. We noticed
sweaty.
That. Because Slash never changed his shirt, and the bass player had a shirt on that said Bull crap on it, and he didn't change his shirt the whole, but I guess Axel sweats a lot.
Did Slash leave his shirt on the whole time?
He did.
Oh,
he
impressive. Did. That's a that's a change.
But I don't think his hair is as long and stringy
it
as
good.
It was.
It was good stuff. Yeah. So I got my Guns and my Roses, and I got my Van Halen fix.
That's
for
fantastic.
A while.
Yeah. Again, road trip to something like that you got to look forward to.
It was good stuff.
So here we are, September 11th weekend. 20 years, man. Where were you?
I was anchoring the morning news at KMOV, Channel 4. We had a hybrid 7 o'clock hour for the news. We would go to CBS This Morning for the first 10 minutes, and then they'd come back to us and we'd do a local cut-in, we'd call it, with the local news, and then we'd go back to them for 10 minutes. So we did a hybrid hour. We were sitting on the set ready to come back for our second news break cut-in when Harry Smith breaks into whatever they were doing and said, "We have reports of an airplane striking the World Trade Center. We don't know what's going on." They never came back to us after that because the obviously network took it, and there was a lot of speculation at first over what was going on. Well, then, of course, we started scrambling on to see how we were going to cover this locally because it wasn't long before they shut down airspace.
Right.
So we were at Lambert covering the story of, you know, church groups and everything coming out there to provide food, and the hotels filled up quickly, and they were taking people were taking strangers back to their homes to put them up overnight because they had nowhere else to go.
Right. Yeah.
It was fantastic.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I miss the American spirit of September 12th, 2001. It just seemed like we were one. We were together and everybody felt. We didn't know what was going to happen next. I mean, we thought here in St. Louis, you know, what could happen? But a lot of people, and I spoke to some firefighters that were out there on the pile. They were on their way to New York within 3 hours of the initial attack or the attack. So I don't know. And for some reason, I was on vacation that week. So, and I even called the station. Do you need me? They're like, nope, we're on a national feed at this point. So. Yeah. It's sad. I just cannot believe it's been 20 years and so many of our military weren't even born yet and they're serving to protect us.
And clearly, based on what's happened in Afghanistan, we haven't learned a whole lot from that day because we're right back in the same situation we were on September 10th of 2001.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I worry about. So hopefully people will remember. Hopefully people won't forget. Because when you listen even to the clips of that day, the calls to the airport and all of that, the police calls, it sent a chill down my spine when I played it on my radio station.
Several years after I was traveling from Albany to New York, actually to Jersey to see my father, and I was traveling in a rental car, and I had the CD broadcast of Howard Stern of that morning, and I go through a toll booth, and this woman goes, "What's going on?" And I was like, "Oh, no, it's a recording, it's a recording," because she could hear it was frightening, so bad timing on my part, but anyway... I will tell you that I pass a very patriotic guy, and I want to share a visit that I had with him on Friday that just shows that there are a lot of good Americans. So if you don't mind if I share that conversation. I literally parked on the side of the road and jumped out of the car and ran up to him and put a microphone on him. So this is me meeting Dave. Okay, I'm at a location at Highway 21 and 141, and I see this man on this corner several days a week, every week. And I wanted to stop, especially right before our 20th anniversary of 9/11. I see you're wearing an Army hat.
Yes, sir.
What is your name?
Dave Middleton.
And you served?
Yes, I did.
And what was your rank?
I left service with the E-4.
In what year?
1973.
You got out of the military in 73?
Yes, sir.
Did you see Vietnam?
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for your service. I want to know why you're out here.
I'm out here because we need to get back to the foundation that we were founded upon. And our nation's in trouble. A lot of hatred out here. A lot of discontentment. I'm here trying to draw this country back together. United we stand, divided we fall. And mainly, my main purpose is to reach the younger generation, the children.
I want you to tell me what kind of responses you're getting by passerbys. This is a really busy intersection. It's so busy that a lot of the panhandlers are normally here. So to see your bright yellow hoodie on this morning, what kind of responses? You've been doing this for a long time.
Since 2011.
And what kind of responses are you getting from the people that come to this stoplight?
Well, I get good. I get bad.
Do you get bad?
I've been threatened. I've been spit on, tried to run over, hot coffee told on me.
Right here.
Right here.
Tell me the good.
The good is that people respond every year to our back-to-school outreach and helping me buy school supplies and clothes and food for the school-aged children.
How did you come up with this idea?
Well, actually, I didn't. My wife did.
And she's still with you?
Yes, she's still with me.
How many years?
We celebrated this last December our 50th year.
50? Congratulations. And so that's a wonderful thing. So she came up with the idea. What did she say to you?
Well, we need to do something for the younger kids because we had three of our children hooked on heroin. We have two of them free today.
I'll tell you what, it is a pleasure. You oftentimes hand out cards.
Yeah.
What is your message on your card to people?
Nation without the cross is lost.
Well, we are we're at an anniversary this weekend of 9/11. You remember where you were when you saw the activities that happened?
I was at work, and when I heard the news that come over the internet, I immediately went back and hugged my family.
I think a lot of us did the same.
I never would have dreamt that that would happen, but we're nearer a situation than we've ever been, and I'm praying for this nation. We need to stand together.
I think you are absolutely right. David, it is a pleasure to finally speak to you. Like I said, I've seen you hundreds of times out here. A lot of times, you have a Louisville Slugger baseball bat sitting here with you in your cart.
Yeah.
You normally have a cross out here, too. Oh,
right,
is it
there.
Out here? Oh, it's right behind me.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I think you're a great American, Dave.
Well, thank you.
It is a pleasure, and I'm so glad that your wife, is it Sandra?
Yes, Sandra.
Of 50 years, urged you to do this because I think for whatever bad you've seen, the good hopefully outweighs the bad.
And it has doing that. It is doing that. I got people that love me. I got others that hate me. You know, I stepped in 2011 and the Panhandlers don't appreciate me.
Well, how will you remember tomorrow's anniversary? 20 years.
Well, I'll be in prayer for this nation, you know, and all the families that lost loved ones. You know, we were all affected by it as citizens of the United States. And whether you are or not a citizen, you still felt the hurt and the pain.
And for those listening that are struggling at this time, what would you say?
There's hope.
That's beautiful, Dave.
There's hope.
Amen to that. God bless you, man.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, so, Dave, go.
I want to say God bless America. With all of my heart.
Say it again.
God bless America.
And I'll tell you what, that is a great American. It was such a pleasure to meet Dave and to hear that his wife is the one that spurred him to do this, and he's been doing it for 10 years at Highway 21 and 141 in Jefferson County. Okay, stick around. Mark and I are coming back with a guest. If you've got time this weekend to get out to the Family Arena, the Fall RV Outdoor Showcase is going on this weekend. We're going to talk to Warren Patton, the president of the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association, next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Stay right there.
On the road again.
Oh, yeah.
Just can't wait to get on the road.
What a perfect song for this segment. And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory, your gun concierge in De Pere, just a half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road. If you want to talk Second Amendment, stop on in there. You want to get an accessory for your firearm or you want to buy a firearm, they are the guys, and they've got ammo coming in on a daily, if not weekly, basis. RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Good stuff. You know, something that I love to do is camp. And I just finished about 3-week vacation out to Glacier National Park, and went through Yellowstone, saw Teton, did some sort of backcountry camping with, you know, no electricity or anything. It was fantastic.
No generator?
Pulling my RV. No. I did take a generator.
Good for you. Good
my
for
My daughter
you.
Wanted some air conditioning occasionally. That was awesome. But I love my RV. And speaking of which, the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association having their big fall RV outdoor showcase coming up over the weekend. We got Warren Patton with us from Byerly RV out there in Eureka, and he's president of the RV Dealers Association. Warren, welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Bo and Mark. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You guys, like so many other activity-based groups, are really seeing a lot of demand right now, I'll bet.
Yeah. No, that has been not just us locally, but nationally. The trend over the last 14, 15 months has been a huge demand on RVs, on all types of RVs, and you've seen it just in the supply of stuff that you see on dealers' lots right now, not as full as normal.
Well, you know, that's something, because I was at your dealership before my vacation. I had to go down and get my propane tanks topped off and was in there buying some toilet paper and some other necessities to take with us. It seemed like you guys, particularly at Byerly, you had the lot seemed to be pretty full.
Well, you know, I think a lot of dealers, it depends on the time. We probably operated at about a third of our normal inventory, okay, if we've been lucky for most of the year. And I think a lot of dealers have been floating between that 20 to 40% range of normal pre-pandemic inventory. But you know, I think a lot of us have found used inventory to try and bring in and we're lucky. Some of the dealers in the market have a lot of ways to go to get inventory. We carry a lot of brands at Byerly across the gamut, from trailers to motorhomes, so we can locate a little more inventory probably than some. But but it has been a stress on all the dealers, and you probably see a lot of service vehicles at a lot of dealerships too that make it look like the lot's a little more full.
Yeah, and you know, Warren, I want to ask about the supply chain. Are the RVs of today, the trailers all the way up to the motorhomes, is there a lot of sourcing you have to do? I mean, we hear about the automotive industry halting production like they have in Wentzville because of the chips. Is there a lot of chips in RVs? I guess the Class A and B and C, the ones you drive, are. But how are you doing on supplies?
Well, you know, for the motorhome manufacturers, they are constrained by what's going to happen down the line at the auto manufacturers. So you are seeing a lot of constraints on motorhome chassis, and you're seeing that really slow the production down because they're not sure they're getting the commitments from Ford and the other chassis manufacturers. So it's slowing the ability to produce on the other side for the rest of the RVs, and this trickles into both motorhomes and towables components. You know, so a lot of these components are sourced from other places. A lot of the suppliers that build these components, they're waiting on shipments from coming overseas, or even labor issues in the United States. And so that is slowing the supply chain. And it's really the other impact is the demand is just so high that even when you're producing at record levels, you can't even catch up.
Yeah.
Because there's no inventory remaining to kind of be a buffer, right?
Yeah, very
there's
true.
Nothing left.
Yeah, Warren Patton is our guest from Byerly RV, president of the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association, which is what brings us to the point here, which is the RV outdoor showcase coming up this weekend. My guess is you're going to want to get there early because there is going to be inventory there, and in most cases, you can drive it off the lot, right?
Well, you know, I think at most of these shows, none of the dealers actually deliver anything at the shows. But, you know, we will have we have eight of the 10 dealers in the association will be there. And obviously, this is the Midwest Gateway RV Dealers Association. We're having the show at the St. Charles Family Arena parking lot. And, you know, eight of our 10 local family-owned dealers that have been serving St. Louis for decades will be there. There will be a lot of inventory. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important to note that we're all still in a little bit of a supply crunch. So
yeah,
it is important, if there's one that you're really looking for, to get there early. We're here, you know, Friday and Saturday, 8 a.m., 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So getting there early to kind of pick out the one you want will be important.
Yeah, well, that's cool, because the reason I asked that question is I think I went last year or the year before. I can't remember, but I know I went to your outdoor showcase, and I, you know, I would see trailers sitting there with sold signs on them. So that's why I was wondering if, you know, if people can get there and find one they really like and reserve it.
Well, and that's exactly right. You can get there early, find the one you want. Luckily, for many products like towables, most of us have duplicates of certain floor plans. So one that we might bring to a show, there's a chance that we might have a few at the lot, or we have a few on order that are coming in shortly. And that's really important, just because of the nature of the supply chain right now. A lot of dealers have some stuff that's on its way, and when customers purchase something, if it was already on order, as soon as a name is put on that order, the manufacturers will respond quicker. They will get that order in production faster once that name is on there. So a lot of dealers have a lot of standing orders, and the manufacturers will really prioritize them once they're sold to get them in the line.
I do have a question about people that want to upgrade. You know, people maybe started with a towable thinking, oh, no, I want to get the diesel-powered Class B or C or A or whatever. Are they advised to bring their unit to the show and, like, do you have parking for that? Or should they bring pictures, information to figure out what trade-in value is, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, the more information they have, the better. But most of the time, you don't need to bring a unit to the show. Most of the time, if you just bring the information, the dealers generally know the valuation of what they're looking for on the trade, and they'll know, you know, if any information is better, but you don't need to bring the vehicle down. You know, most people are upgrading right now just because of all the new vehicles that have been bought in the last, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, no kidding. Warren, is there a trend that you've seen? I mean, have people been moving toward more of the RVs, the motorized, the Class A, Class B style, or the pull trailers? Or do you see equal demand for both?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think the larger trend has been to a little more smaller motorhomes, whether that's Class B vans or Class C motorhomes, which are the van chassis with a cab over top, but a bigger motorhome style. Or, you know, on the towable side, you're seeing a lot of single axle campers, which are the more entry level ones. Just a lot of people who are getting into the industry for the first time, they're just picking up something light that they can tow, just to kind of get the feel for it. And if they upgrade, you know, they may only upgrade to a smaller trailer size just that fits the family. But those are probably the most popular ways that people are going right now. But there's still a lot of people who are interested in, you know, the big fifth wheels if they got the right truck. And they have, you know, the fifth wheels have everything that a motorhome has. You know, when you get into some really high-end luxury fifth wheels that, mm-hmm. that could be, you know, six figures painted on the outside.
Yeah,
there's a lot of nice features in those.
Then when you get to your destination, you can unhook and have a vehicle to drive around.
That's convenient.
And, you know, one question is, will you have some of these vacation companies or destination companies represented at the show? Because I know when it was downtown at the America Center, there was all kinds of, you know, RV clubs and destinations that you could go to. I've heard of glamping, you know, parks and stuff like that. Do you have those people there as well?
I do know we have some vendors, but I personally can't speak to which vendors that we have there. Generally, we tend to have a few more vendors at the spring show than we do at the fall show. So we generally have some representatives, some campgrounds at the fall show. But I don't know the full capacity of what we have there right now.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I know there's a lot of interest in it. So just a reminder, it's what, $10 a car to get in? Is that right?
Yeah. Admission to the show is free, but it is $10 to park a car. Yep.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, hopefully people show up out there at the Family Arena in St. Charles this weekend just to take. I mean, we've now bought one, but we were certainly looking in and trying to get an idea of the different sizes and the fact that some of them are ready for winter camping and some of them are not. They're just little details like that, that if you've never gone out there, several of those sales guys spent a lot of time with me explaining the difference, and that helps a lot.
Because you got a lot of questions.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we're there for. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people come into RVing and they know what they want to do, but they really don't know all of the available options, right? So, you know, our salespeople are designed, you know, trained to walk people through, let them know the information, find out what, how they want to tow, whether they want to drive, find out the right thing for them. And I think that's really important. And the best thing about a show is being able to go out and just see all the available options as well.
Oh, the floor plans, oh, fireplaces. Yeah. Now, come on, that's not camping.
Warren, you know, when I was at your dealership out there at Byerly back in July, I asked how was the rental program this summer, and they just said booked. I mean, everything you could get your hands on. I guess people were renting, so maybe they're trying things out when they do that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think renting has been a huge part of our business, but I think it's a huge part of the RV market as well. And we are seeing huge demand on the rental side, and even in the fall. I mean, we've got weeks that are already completely booked in fall with all of our vehicles, and we're seeing huge demand. And it's always, there's a lot of people who just want to try the one trip and that one experience, and there's a lot of people who just like, I want to try everything to see if what I want. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
We did. I was 7 years old. We were traveling from Minneapolis in a Winnebago, and we were going to Pennsylvania, Mark. I'll tell you what. We got to about Chicago, and the muffler fell off. And we had to go all the way to Pennsylvania and back with blah. It was so bad. But what a great memory.
Nothing like that at Byerly, let me assure
no,
you.
No, hey, things happen. You know, hey, before you go, do you offer, like, I know you offer, like, for newcomers to the RV market, you know, training on how the toilet works, how to empty the tanks, how to fill the tanks. Do you ever help them with driving? Because how many times has somebody bought a brand new RV, go to fill it up at the gas station on trip number one, and right along that post? Do you offer driving instruction?
You know, I mean, a lot of times people will ask us those questions, and I've always, you know, on the rental side or on the sales side, always been, hey, look, let's drive around this building first. But if you can make it around this building, you're going to make it anywhere. But you know, we used to do at Byerly, we offer a lot of instructional stuff. We generally do a monthly free seminar for people to teach them about all kinds of different things about RVs. We've moved that to an online onto our YouTube channel to do that. We do that on a monthly basis. But we used to do a driving school. We kind of got away from that from insurance purposes, like for everybody.
Yeah.
But for most of our customers, we're going to offer some driving tips and kind of go over some instructions with them a little bit to kind of get them more comfortable. Some of it you just have to learn, though. You know, some of it you do have to get on the road and feel, how do I feel comfortable? You know, 60 miles an hour is the best speed.
Nothing like experiencing the great outdoors camping. I love that. And Warren Patton, thanks for your time. I hope people show up out there at their fall RV outdoor showcase over the weekend. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Our pleasure. Great to have you on here.
Good having
lots
that
of
partnership. Right. Yeah, he's a smart guy. He's got a lot of information. And yeah, my wife, she's so terrified of us buying an RV. And the reason is, she's seen one on the side of the road. She's like, now what are those people doing? I said, you know what? They're making a sandwich and they're waiting on the tow truck.
That's right. No, that doesn't happen very often. Come on. That's fantastic. Oh, good stuff. Hey, coming up, you know, sometimes you overlook some of the jewels that are right there in the backyard. We do that a lot here in St. Louis. We're going to talk to Margaret Martin when we come back, and Dennis Hogan. They're from St. Louis County Parks Department to talk more about Creve Coeur Lake. We'll be back on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with Bo Matthews. And Bo, I have a question.
I hope I have the answer.
Are you wearing your boots?
Not at the moment.
Oh, okay. I know where you get them.
It's Friday. It's Comfy Shoes Day. Yes, I do get them at Chuck's Boots. I've been going there for A long time. They've been around a long time. Chuck's Boots in Fenton and in St. Peter's and online now, shopping at chucksboots.com. But while you're there, shopping around on their website or their Facebook page, make sure you get registered to win a beautiful Polaris side-by-side given away by Thoroughgood Boots, which is the boots I recommend. They're comfortable, they're durable, and I've been wearing them for about 5 years, and they're awesome. So go to chucksboots.com to get registered. You can also do that at their Facebook page. Chuck's Boots, tell them Bo sent you.
Yep, and right now we want to tell you more about where you can wear your boots. Maybe they're hiking boots. Can you get hiking boots at Chuck's Boots?
Yeah,
all right.
Huge.
Absolutely. Maybe you want to go hike out around Creve Coeur Lake. I've done that a number of times myself. We've got Maggie Martin, Recreation Events Coordinator, and Dennis Hogan with us from Environmental Resource Specialist out there at the St. Louis County Parks Department to talk more about Creve Coeur Lake. Hey, welcome into the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you both on here today. You know, I said earlier, leading into this, that we tend to have some hidden jewels in the greater St. Louis area that people, you know, just sometimes we take things for granted. Creve Coeur Lake, to me, fits that description perfectly. I love the trails out there, and whenever we go out there, the parking lots seem to be full. I think that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I've been out there for the speedboat races years ago, and it is. It's just a great place to go and, you know, have a lunch or have a cup of coffee or go for a walk.
Yeah, what do people need to know about it, Maggie?
Well, I would say they need to know to get out there. It's a great spot if people are looking to bike, run a trail, whether it is a flat paved trail or a fun trail in the woods. So we just want people to get out and enjoy the space.
Hey, Dennis, to get an idea of how big that area is, I mean, you can see the lake from, you know, a bunch of different highways and see the area. How big in acreage that you guys have for Creve Coeur Lake?
Well, Bo, we've actually got about 2,100 acres of land out here.
I had no idea.
It's the largest county park. So it is huge.
You know, my wife and I were out there kayaking one time, and I couldn't believe how far back some of the little streams go beyond the actual lake, but it was so cool. And then you see the paddleboard people. I could never do that. That would kill my back. I could sit on the thing, but a lot of people do that, and you guys have vendors that are out there renting that stuff, right?
We do. Creve Coeur Lake Rentals, they rent all sorts of different water activities out there, so definitely head out there and check it out.
Yeah, my wife likes to paddleboard. In fact, she bought one of those inflatable paddleboards. And she's like, here, this is fun. You should do this.
And
I'm not a paddleboarder. I'm like you. I can't get my balance on that thing. I'm not relaxed. I sat on it one time and used it like a kayak.
I could do that. Absolutely.
That was doable.
I could take a nap on it, maybe. So what kind of official events that go on out of Creve Coeur Lake Park, the Memorial Park out there, that you can talk about, maybe to, you know, give some thought starters for families doing gender reveal parties or, you know, baby showers? Do they do that kind of stuff out there?
Absolutely. We do all sorts of things out there. There's multiple different shelters to rent, and so we host everything from birthday parties to 5Ks. Just a couple weekends ago, the Dragon Boat Festival was out there. So everything from small private family events to large public functions take place there.
And if you want to do that, Maggie, do you have to reserve that? And if so, where do they go to do that part of it to make sure, hey, their family reunion can happen at, you know, pavilion number, blah, blah, blah?
Sure. So we always encourage people to rent out the spaces. If for some reason you come to a park and it's not rented for the day, it's first come, first serve. I will say with COVID, that is not really happening. Because everyone has pushed every activity outside. So we're hosting every birthday party, gender reveal. Like you said, everything is happening in the park. So if somebody wants to rent one of those spaces, they should call our parks reservation line. It's 314-615-4FUN. That's 615-4386.
Yeah, people can always go on the website there, St. Louis County Gov, St. Louis County Mo.gov. Yes, I can speak. Sorry about that. And get all the details of what all is available. But you've got disc golf, you've got tennis courts out there. There's all kinds of things to access, right?
Oh, yeah, and we also have Go Ape is out there, the Creve Coeur Lake House restaurant. Don't forget the quarry at Crystal Springs. Springs Golf Course. There's so many different things out there. It's super fun to just go check it out for, whether you have a, you know, a few minutes or half a day.
Hey, Dennis, I got a question for you. Now, we just spoke to Warren Patton of Byerly RV. They've got their big RV show going on out there. And I highly doubt that Warren actually goes RVing because he's in that business. So my question to you, Dennis and Maggie, is do you guys actually go to enjoy the park, or are you just running it?
No, actually, I do come out to Creve Coeur. There's a section of Creve Coeur Park that very few people realize. In fact, I'm sitting in the area right now, which is a 600-acre parcel of Creve Coeur Park that we call Little Creve Coeur. When we acquired it back in 1998, it was 600 acres of farmland. Over that time, we have put in wetlands, we have put in prairies, we have planted thousands of trees. So we're taking that 600 acres and kind of restoring it back to a natural community. And because of that, there are deer, there are turkey, there are quail. And when the wetlands have water, you can see osprey. It's not uncommon to see eagles and just a whole host of birds that are now beginning to come from the north, heading south as they migrate south. So you're going to see all kinds of birding activity.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, for people, I'm assuming I'm not familiar with the piece of the parcel you're talking about specifically, but I've been bike riding out there, and you can connect on trails that take you all the way out to the bridge, correct?
Yes, that's correct, on the Katy Trail Connector. In fact, yes. You're going past, when you're heading for the Missouri River, you're going past the 600 acres that I'm referring to as Little Creve Coeur. It's going to be on the left-hand side.
Okay. Yeah, I know exactly where that is.
Random question, Dennis. There's no hunting out there, is there?
Well, we did start last year a specialized controlled deer hunt through the Missouri Department of Conservation, and it was deer hunting only, so no small game or other hunting is allowed.
Interesting. Yeah, well, it's good to know. Good to know what's out there. Let's talk about the lake itself for a moment. I mean, I know, unfortunately, things get in the headlines sometimes because tragedies occur. I mean, it is a lake, and people need to take the proper water safety and have a healthy respect for it when they're out there. What's your advice to them on that, Dennis or Maggie? Who wants to handle that?
I can take that one. That lake, swimming is not allowed. We do not have lifeguards out there, so we do ask that people do not go swimming. But when you are out on your paddleboard or you're in a kayak, it's always good advice to wear that life jacket. I'd say that's the best piece of advice we have for you, is make sure you have your life jacket on when you're around the water.
And how about fishing? Can you fish the lake?
Definitely. Well, Department of Conservation rules apply.
And Dennis, do they stock the lake, just so I know the lunkers are out there?
Well, there are some good-sized populations of crappie out at the Creve Coeur Lake. It is not stocked because occasionally it does flood. So if you think of stocking and the lake comes up, you might lose all the fish that you just stocked.
Yeah.
But it does have a healthy population of bass and crappie and bluegill. And a lot of people do come out specifically to fish for crappie at Creve Coeur Lake.
Yeah, I've seen people out there before when we've been out there. We went out there and took my kid's little toy boat and let him play with it near the ramp. And I see people out there surfboarding. Is that what they call it? When the looks like a paddle
sailboarding?
Sailboarding? Is that it? Yeah.
You guys, sailboarding's allowed, yeah?
Oh, yeah. People do sailboat out there.
Do they rent those out there or no?
We don't have sailboat for rent, but we do host a sailboating club out there.
Okay, how about the sailboards? I know along with the kayaks, do they possibly rent the sailboards? And I know they're not easy to do, but there's a lot of nice breeze and wind out there. Do they rent those, or can you bring your own out there to do a sailboarding?
You can bring your own for those. The Creve Coeur Lake Rental Company, unfortunately, they don't have those quite yet.
Oh yeah, no. That's there's limitations. And what about if I'm at the beach in Florida, they rent chairs and stuff. Do you guys rent lawn chairs or any kind of furniture out there for folks to just relax, or should they bring their own?
They can bring their own or find a table. We do have picnic tables located throughout the park, so they're welcome to also find those or park benches.
Well, it is definitely a jewel in our area, just like Forest Park is. I mean, it's just a gorgeous thing that I just recently learned that Forest Park is actually bigger than Central Park in New York.
You didn't know that?
Who knew?
Where you been, Bo?
I don't know.
Come on.
Hey, you guys, Dennis, about how many people do you think visit Creve Coeur Lake in any given year?
Well, Maggie, you might help to help me on this, but I'm saying over a million people come to the park every year, because it is certainly one of the busiest parks with the special events, the trails. It's just incredible.
Yes, definitely. It's over a million. And one thing we have neglected to talk about is the fairly new Creve Coeur Park Soccer Complex. That's a huge draw for people, not only throughout the St. Louis area, but all over the Midwest region. We do bring in some pretty large tournaments out of that as well.
Great lesson there, that they're probably, whatever you thought you knew about Creve Coeur Park, there's something you didn't know. So go check them out on the web. Go out there and visit. Take advantage of this, and we love that. Maggie Martin and Dennis Hogan from St. Louis County Parks Department, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to get you both on here.
Yeah, great job, you guys. Yeah, really good. You know, it's cool when you have somebody that's so passionate about something and they know every nook and cranny of a place like that. That's fantastic. And that's what you get at Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors.
We try. We do. Thank you. Hey, great. Listen, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy what's left of it, depending on when you're listening to this.
Absolutely. Share it if you can on your social media through the Odyssey app. You can do that. And thank you. Yeah, thanks for listening, guys.
All right. We'll see you next week on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with Bo Matthews. And Bo, I have a question.
I hope I have the answer.
Are you wearing your boots?
Not at the moment.
Oh, okay. Where you get them.
It's Friday. It's Comfy Shoes Day. Yes, I do get them at Chuck's Boots. I've been going there for a long time. They've been around a long time. Chuck's Boots in Fenton and in St. Peter's, and online now, shopping at chucksboots.com. But while you're there, shopping around on their website or their Facebook page, make sure you get registered to win a beautiful Polaris side-by-side given away by Thoroughgood Boots, which is the boots I recommend. They're comfortable, they're durable, and I've been wearing them for about 5 years, and they're awesome. So go to chucksboots.com to get registered. You can also do that at their Facebook page. Chuck's Boots, tell them Bo sent you.
Yep. And right now, we want to tell you more about where you can wear your boots. Maybe they're hiking boots. Can you get hiking boots at Chuck's Boots?
Yeah,
all right.
Huge.
Absolutely. Maybe you want to go hike out around Creve Coeur Lake. I've done that a number of times myself. We've got Maggie Martin, Recreation Events Coordinator, and Dennis Hogan with us from Environmental Resource Specialist out there at the St. Louis County Parks Department to talk more about Creve Coeur Lake. Hey, welcome into the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you both on here today. You know, I said earlier, leading into this, that we tend to have some hidden jewels in the greater St. Louis area that people, you know, just sometimes we take things for granted. Creve Coeur Lake, to me, fits that description perfectly. I love the trails out there, and whenever we go out there, the parking lots seem to be full. I think that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I've been out there for the speedboat races years ago, and it is. It's just a great place to go and, you know, have a lunch or have a cup of coffee or go for a walk.
Yeah, what do people need to know about it, Maggie?
Well, I would say they need to know to get out there. It's a great spot if people are looking to bike, run a trail, whether it is a flat paved trail or a fun trail in the woods. So we just want people to get out and enjoy the space.
Hey, Dennis, to get an idea of how big that area is, I mean, you can see the lake from, you know, a bunch of different highways and see the area. How big in acreage that you guys have for Creve Coeur Lake?
Well, Bo, we've actually got about 2,100 acres of land out here.
I had no idea.
It's the largest county park. So it is huge.
You know, my wife and I were out there kayaking one time, and I couldn't believe how far back some of the little streams go beyond the actual lake, but it was so cool. And then you see the paddleboard people. I could never do that. That would kill my back. I could sit on the thing, but a lot of people do that, and you guys have vendors that are out there renting that stuff, right?
We do. Creve Coeur Lake Rentals, they rent all sorts of different water activities out there. So definitely head out there and check it out.
Yeah, my wife likes to paddleboard. In fact, she bought one of those inflatable paddleboards. And she's like, here, this is fun. You should do this.
And
I'm not a paddleboarder. I'm like you. I can't get my balance on that thing. I'm not relaxed. I sat on it one time and used it like a kayak.
I could do that. Absolutely.
That was doable.
I could take a nap on it, maybe. So what kind of official events that go on out of Creve Coeur Lake Park, the Memorial Park out there, that you can talk about? Maybe to, you know, give some thought starters for families doing gender reveal parties. Or, you know, baby showers. Do they do that kind of stuff out there?
Absolutely. We do all sorts of things out there. There's multiple different shelters to rent, and so we host everything from birthday parties to 5Ks. Just a couple weekends ago, the Dragon Boat Festival was out there. So everything from small private family events to large public functions take place there.
And if you want to do that, Maggie, do you have to reserve that? And if so, where do they go to do that part of it to make sure, hey, their family reunion can happen at, you know, pavilion number, blah, blah, blah?
Sure. So we always encourage people to rent out the spaces. If for some reason you come to a park and it's not rented for the day, it's first come, first serve. I will say with COVID, that is not really happening. Because everyone has pushed every activity outside. So we're hosting every birthday party, gender reveal. Like you said, everything is happening in the park. So if somebody wants to rent one of those spaces, they should call our parks reservation line. It's 314-615-4FUN. That's 615-4386.
Yeah, people can always go on the website there, St. Louis County Gov, St. Louis County Mo.gov. Yes, I can speak. Sorry about that. And get all the details of what all is available. But you've got disc golf, you've got tennis courts out there. There's all kinds of things to access, right?
Oh, yeah, and we also have Go Ape is out there, the Creve Coeur Lake House Restaurant. Don't forget the quarry at Crystal Springs Golf Course. There's so many different things out there. It's super fun to just go check it out for, whether you have a few minutes or half a day.
Hey, Dennis, I got a question for you. Now, we just spoke to Warren Patton of Byerly RV. They've got their big RV show going on out there. And I highly doubt that Warren actually goes RVing because he's in that business. So my question to you, Dennis and Maggie, is do you guys actually go to enjoy the park, or are you just running it?
No, actually, I do come out to Creve Coeur. There's a section of Creve Coeur Park that very few people realize. In fact, I'm sitting in the area right now, which is a 600-acre parcel of Creve Coeur Park that we call Little Creve Coeur. When we acquired it back in 1998, it was 600 acres of farmland. Over that time, we have put in wetlands, we have put in prairies, we have planted thousands of trees. So we're taking that 600 acres and kind of restoring it back to a natural community. And because of that, there are deer, there are turkey, there are quail. And when the wetlands have water, you can see osprey. It's not uncommon to see eagles and just a whole host of birds that are now beginning to come from the north, heading south as they migrate south. So you're going to see all kinds of birding activity.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, for people, I'm assuming I'm not familiar with the piece of the parcel you're talking about specifically, but I've been bike riding out there, and you can connect on trails that take you all the way out to the bridge, correct?
Yes, that's correct, on the Katy Trail connector. In fact, yes. You're going past, when you're heading for the Missouri River, you're going past the 600 acres that I'm referring to as Little Creve Coeur. It's going to be on the left-hand side.
Okay. Yeah, I know exactly where that is.
Random question, Dennis. There's no hunting out there, is there?
Well, we did start last year a specialized controlled deer hunt through the Missouri Department of Conservation, and it was deer hunting only, so no small game or other hunting is allowed.
Interesting. Yeah, well, it's good to know. Good to know what's out there. Let's talk about the lake itself for a moment. I mean, I know, unfortunately, things get in the headlines sometimes because tragedies occur. I mean, it is a lake, and people need to take the proper water safety and have a healthy respect for it when they're out there. What's your advice to them on that, Dennis? or Maggie, who wants to handle that?
I can take that one. That lake, swimming is not allowed. We do not have lifeguards out there, so we do ask that people do not go swimming. But when you are out on your paddleboard or you're in a kayak, it's always good advice to wear that life jacket. I'd say that's the best piece of advice we have for you, is make sure you have your life jacket on when you're around the water.
And how about fishing? Can you fish the lake?
Definitely. Well, Department of Conservation rules apply.
And Dennis, do they stock the lake, just so I know the lunkers are out there?
Well, there are some good-sized populations of crappie out at the Creek Core Lake. It is not stocked because occasionally it does flood. So if you think of stocking and the lake comes up, you might lose all the fish that you just stocked. Yeah. But it does have a healthy population of bass and crappie and bluegill. And a lot of people do come out specifically to fish for crappie at Creek Core Lake.
Yeah, I've seen people out there before when we've been out there. We went out there and took my kid's little little toy boat and let him play with it near the ramp. And I see people out there surfboarding. Is that what they call it? When the looks like a paddleboard.
Oh, sailboarding?
Sailboarding? Is that it? Yeah.
You guys, sailboarding's allowed, yeah?
Oh, yeah. People do sailboat out there.
Do they rent those out there or no?
We don't have sailboat for rent, but we do host a sailboating club out there.
Okay, how about the sailboards? I know along with the kayaks, do they possibly rent the sailboards? And I know they're not easy to do, but there's a lot of nice breeze and wind out there. Do they rent those, or can you bring your own out there to do a sailboarding?
You can bring your own for those. The Creve Coeur Lake Rental Company, unfortunately, they don't have those quite yet.
Oh, yeah. No. That's there's limitations. And what about, like, if I'm at the beach in Florida, they rent chairs and stuff. Do you guys rent lawn chairs or any kind of furniture out there for folks to just relax, or should they bring their own?
They can bring their own or find a table. We do have picnic tables located throughout the park, so they're welcome to also find those or park benches.
Well, it is definitely a jewel in our area, just like Forest Park is. I mean, it's just a gorgeous thing that I just recently learned that Forest Park is actually bigger than Central Park in
yes.
New York.
You didn't know that?
Who knew?
Where you been, Bo?
I don't know.
Come on.
Hey, you guys, Dennis, about how many people do you think visit Creve Coeur Lake in any given year?
Well, maybe you might have to help me on this, but I'm saying over a million come to the park every year, because it is certainly one of the busiest parks. With the special events, the trails, it's just incredible.
Yes, definitely. It's over a million. And one thing we have neglected to talk about is the fairly new Creve Coeur Park Soccer Complex. That's a huge draw for people, not only throughout the St. Louis area, but all over the Midwest region. We do bring in some pretty large tournaments as well.
Great lesson there, that they're probably, whatever you thought you knew about Creve Coeur Park, there's something you didn't know. So go check them out on the web. Go out there and visit. Take advantage of this, and we love that. Maggie Martin and Dennis Hogan from St. Louis County Parks Department, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to get you both on here.
Yeah, great job, you guys.
Yeah,
really good. You know, it's cool when you have somebody that's so passionate about something and they know every nook and cranny of a place like that. That's fantastic. And that's what you get at Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors.
We try. We do. Thank you. Hey, great. Listen, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy what's left of it, depending on when you're listening to this.
Absolutely. And share it if you can on your social media through the Odyssey app. You can do that. And thank you. Yeah, thanks for listening, guys.
All right. We'll see you next week on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.